Welcome to Magical Moments, a podcast hosted by Jill Lindsay.
Hello, I am Jill Lindsay, a curator of experiences, products, and places. I have a community space in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, that features local artists, spiritual gifts, sustainable fashion, and handmade jewelry. We also host daily events and workshops. Come visit us at 370 Myrtle Avenue and enjoy our cafe and happy hour in the garden. Check out our website, jilllindsay.com, for our selection of products and our monthly calendar of activities. The Jill Lindsay community is so special that we have created Magical Moments, a podcast showcasing creators and their inspirational journeys. Our special guests span across fashion, food, wellness, art, and business. Our mission is to inspire and help celebrate the magical moments in life. We would love to hear your stories, share them with us, and don't forget to follow us at Jill Lindsay Store, hashtag magical moments. Welcome, friends, to another episode of Magical Moments, recorded here in Rockefeller Center. And today I have the utmost excitement to have Melissa Carter on the show. Melissa is a new but very dear friend to me. I am so grateful to have her here to share her story, to enlighten us all, to ignite us all. Melissa is just a powerhouse. I mean, that energy that she has is so special. She is the Senior Director for the Center of Global Spiritual Life and Head of Mindfulness Education at NYU. Hello. Also serves as an adjunct faculty for NYU's Silver School of Social Work and a doctoral candidate at NYU's Steinard School of Culture, Education, and Human Development. She is a co-host of Sound True's Conscious Business Summit, a movement lover, mindful meditation teacher, interfaith officiant, diversity and inclusion advocate, and you guys, she is a mama to be.
Yes.
So if you haven't already been blown away by the type of person Melissa is, because of who she has brought all of these amazing things into her life, and she is going to share that all with us today. And I couldn't be more excited for us to learn about you and all of your stories to come. So Melissa, welcome to Magical Moments.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel honored to be here and to be on this show and be in this great space. It feels good in here. And just to be able to have a chance to sit and talk with you is always a pleasure. So thank you so much for having me.
Yay! Yay! Well, let's get into it and okay. Do our first tarot pull, which okay. Is going to bring in the energy of the beginning of the week for Melissa and all.
I'm going to take a deep breath as I pull us something abundant. Four of Wands.
The Four of Wands.
I was like, please don't be the Tower card.
I know. Isn't it always like the don't pull the devil? Not today. But I love the Four of Wands. The Four of Wands means that you have reached a period of stability after all of your hard work.
Yeah.
It is also time for response and recovery after certain challenges that have been passed.
Wow.
There is so much to look forward to, so don't forget to give yourself permission to rest and rejoice. With this outpouring of positive energy, it is also an ideal time to organize the emergence of peace and happiness that is on the horizon as you go through the process and the payoff for all of your hard work. You are able to nurture your loving relationships with others and bring wisdom and abundance into their lives. And after everything you've done, your priorities are crystal clear.
They sure are. Whoa, that is the card, y'all. That is the card.
Oh, I'm going to show you guys this card, this beautiful card, which is a full moon, okay?
On a full moon.
It's a full moon with the Four of Wands going horizontal. In the valley, just beautiful light, because Melissa is a beautiful light.
Aww.
Thank you so much. It's a love fest in here.
I needed that card, actually. I needed those reminders. It's very fitting. Perfect. Perfect.
Great.
And anyone else who needed that card, I hope it serves.
Yes. Well, Melissa, the special awaits. Yes. So let's talk about it.
Okay.
We're going to do a reverse. We're going to start with present, and then we're going to work backwards a little bit.
Okay.
Which is a fun way to do it on a full moon.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, why not?
But I want to talk about your current work role, because you have such a big voice in this world, and you have such a meaningful placement in the field of education and mindfulness and community. So let's talk a little bit about what you do.
Sure. You know, I hate to lead with my title, because I think it's just so much more than that. I have the opportunity and the gift of leading a team of people at NYU to ensure that there is interfaith coalition building on campus, community building, bridge building, that there's religious literacy happening on campus, that we learn from each other's differences so we can celebrate them and not let them further divide us, to support students identify their spiritual and religious needs and then serve them, and then help our students understand what their leadership can be through a spiritual lens or through a religious lens that allows them to bring their whole selves to the table. So we also have a full-blown yoga and meditation studio. We do mindfulness training. We have student clubs that are student-led meditation groups. We have religious groups, various religious centers on campus. And one of the most special things we have is about 70 spiritual life advisors from all different faith traditions, sexual orientations, gender identities that are on campus to serve our students, faculty, and staff with any pastoral care that they might need. You know, students in college are in their formative years, and it's when you're really asking life's big questions. I'm still asking life's big questions, yeah. So I don't know if that ever stops, but to really help our students answer those questions and find the way to make meaning for themselves, which might be different than the way that their families made meaning or society makes meaning. So we really try to find that unique specialness within each student and help them feel it and bring it out into the world. And we do that through our spiritual and religious well-being.
Wow. Yeah. That is amazing. I mean, this morning as I was coming into Manhattan, I was walking down DeKalb Avenue and I just was thinking how amazing it is because of New York. Because of the people of New York, because of the cultures and the differences. And so to hear that NYU supports people and students in that way is beyond incredible.
I think it's actually one of the best blessings of NYU is we are a global community. Yeah. It's, a huge global network. And in the last several years with the way that the world is, I think NYU's taken a wonderful, grounded, supportive, need-based approach of we celebrate each other's difference. We have to be able to sit and live within complexity and nuance and talk about it and actually let our differences guide us together and not further apart. And I get to be a part of that as being a part of student affairs and being on faculty and a student. So it's just been a huge gift in my life. And I know it's a huge gift in these students' lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And did you ever see yourself in this type of role?
No. I mean, if you had told me, I accidentally fell into this, I should say. If you had told me, and I'd love to tell a little bit about that journey.
Please.
If you had told me even 5 years ago, when I've been at NYU for 4 years, that this is what I would be doing, I'd be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. You're wild. But when I reflect back and think about what brought me to today, it is quite magical. There's many magical moments that led me here. And it was really my spiritual path that allowed me to find the courage and the understanding and I think the patience to build this life. At one point, I think when you can listen to the subtle voice of your knowings and your body and your heart and you allow them to guide your life, wow. I couldn't even dream the life I'm living right now. I could not have written this. And I started my career when I was in college. I was answering big life's questions. And I was I'm going to be Puff Daddy and I'm going to be in the music industry. And, I would throw keg parties at the golf course on campus and I just was like Miss Music at a radio show in college. And then I decided to move to New York. I needed to leave that stage of my life. It was, I was mixed up in some things I didn't need to be mixed up in. And I decided to just make a music career. Like, it really was that. I didn't really have a job. I had come to New York on spring break and met a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who needed a publicist. And I was like, I'm a publicist. And he's like, okay, you're hired. And I was like, great. And so, like, I just packed up all my stuff, Googled how to be a publicist on the way.
No way.
Yes. And showed up, ended up writing a bio for, like, actually one of today's, like, biggest hip-hop video directors. Quickly got fired because it was, like, it was a mess. And then I was doing promotions at clubs and this, that, and the other. And then finally got a job at the Virgin Megastore in Union Square, for any listeners who remember the beautiful Virgin Megastore. Yes, a moment.
Yeah.
And then randomly, it's just so funny, I'm actually seeing him tomorrow, my friend Jameson. This isn't the time, I don't know if they still do it in the music industry, where assistants would, like, sit on the phone with their bosses while they took their calls. And so my friend Jameson heard that, like, Violator Management, who managed, like, Mobb Deep, Tribe Called Quest, 50 Cent, Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, that they needed an assistant. And he's like, so you got to call them right now and apply for it. And I was like, what? So I just called and said, I heard that you're looking for an assistant. I'm an assistant. And went for the interview, got the job. And yes. So from 9 to 5, I was working at Violator Management as the second assistant to Chris Lighty, may he rest in peace, who is just one of the, I mean, godfather curators and just greatest men to really bring talent, creativity, and hip hop to the forefront of music, and had a tremendous impact on me. And then from 5:30 to 1 in the morning, worked at the Virgin Megastore.
Oh my gosh.
And then would take the train and then a bus to my aunt's house in Queens. And I was like, I'm doing it. I'm living the dream.
Yes.
And eventually I couldn't live that dream very long. I ended up leaving Violator for a while, just working at Virgin as a manager. And then leaving Virgin, going back to Violator to be Mona Scott's executive assistant.
Wow.
And Mona Scott, you know, she's really integral in the careers of so many, specifically Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, Love and Hip Hop. You know, she's a producer of all those shows, and got to be her assistant for over a year. And I mean, it was like boot camp.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not an easy place to work. And, like, thank God, right? It helped me be the boss woman I am today and really be sharp and, like, not fuck up, to be honest.
Yeah.
I ended up having to leave. To be honest, it was at a radio station. There was a shooting between, like, The Game and 50 Cent's camps.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like, well, I don't know if this is for me anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I ended up leaving with no job. I was in graduate school at the time, getting my MBA. And I randomly got a call from Perry Bashkoff, who's, at the time, he was working for Warner in digital sales and marketing. And he's like, oh, I'm calling about the digital sales and marketing job. Do you see a theme here? And I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, do you want to interview for it? Sure. So I, like, read my friend's thesis on digital sales and marketing.
Oh my gosh.
Went in for the interview, got the job. And that started really, you know, I was there for 3 years. I then left and went to run the East Coast team at Universal Music Group. Became one of Billboard's top 30 under 30.
Come on.
Like, just had an incredible, incredible career, trusting I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
And, like, knowing I don't know how to do this, but I'll figure it out. And, you know, I say all that. The long story is that, like, by after 10 years, I had, like, a huge life transformation. I had all the accolades. I was flying from the Grammys to Yankee Stadium to see Eminem and Jay-Z. I was, like, super cool and going to all the parties, hanging out with celebrities. And I worked my ass off. And I was also, like, on my BlackBerry at 3 a.m. and constantly working. And, you know, I had my past that I had never healed catching up to me. I was morbidly obese. I was almost 300 pounds, walking with a cane at the age of 30. And, you know, contemplating if my life was worth living. But on paper, you would have thought, like, she's living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up having just a really deep awakening, losing a ton of weight, starting to get healthy, living more of a holistic life, meditating. And then I got let go from Universal. And I wasn't expecting to be let go. Mm-hmm. It was a big surprise. It was a big shock. So here I am looking in the mirror and I have no job when I'm Miss Music.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was my identity.
Right.
I now don't recognize the body I'm living in. Mm-hmm. I had just left my partner of 5 years and I was like, who am I? And it was the scariest, most brilliant moment of my life because it was literally like, I can create anything from here. And I don't know if I would have known that's what I was doing then, but looking back, I do now. And so I remember I went traveling for a little bit and I just sat on a mountain in Bonasola, Italy.
Wow.
And I said, three questions. What do I never want to do again? Mm-hmm. How do I want to feel every day? Mm-hmm. And what can I create out of that? And at that time, I was like, I don't want to wear a suit and I don't want to work for anybody and I don't want to just I want to help people and I want to bring people's talents and skills. I don't want to put money in celebrities' pockets. I want to help people find their magic and bring it out into the world and help them find the tools, the courage, and the confidence to do that. And so I was like, well, how can I do that? I like gym clothes and I like movement. And I remember I'm like all healthy now.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll become a trainer. So I called up Equinox and said, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'll be your best trainer in 6 months. And I'm your biggest sales story because I lost 150 pounds in your gym. So you should hire me. And they were kind of like, okay, they hired me.
Wow.
And I became one of their best trainers and I ended up starting my own boot camp on the side. I became a Lululemon ambassador, Good Housekeeping magazine, wrote a feature story on me, blah, blah. So again, all the accolades, yep. Create a career out of nothing.
Yep.
And I still was like, this isn't it. I'm still not fulfilled. And at that time I had another breakup. This was a very devastating breakup. I thought this was the person I'd spend my life with. And this isn't it. I felt this like call to leave New York. Mm. And I didn't know why.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, I just got to follow it. So I just moved. And this is before everyone was doing online. Mm-hmm. Moved my whole business online. Did online personal training and coaching. That time I was doing holistic coaching as well. I'd been trained through the Czech Institute. And I was like a health coach and doing meditation and this, that, and the other. And I ended up leaving. I said, well, I'm just going to trust this. I put my stuff in storage, put everything online, booked a ticket and stayed in Miami for a month to figure it out. And then I booked a ticket to Europe. If my narrative, my message is to listen to that subtle voice, mm-hmm. I'm going to go do it for real. And so I was like, I'm not going to make any plans and just figure it out. So yeah. I went to Europe. And from Europe, I ended up walking the Camino de Santiago. I ended up living in Indonesia for 6 months, learning under teachers and healers there. I went to Portugal and learned to surf. I went to Thailand. I went to Vietnam. I went to Costa Rica, Colombia. I mean, I just really...
You needed to go.
I needed to go. And it was the loneliest period of my life, most exhilarating. But it made me finally answer those big life questions.
Yeah.
Not from a stance of, what am I going to do? It was, who do I want to be?
Yes.
And that felt so important to me at that time. And then I just all of a sudden knew it was time to come home. And came home and then was like, randomly got into a doula training with Latham Thomas in Glowmaven and was like, okay, I'm going to go to New York for this training. It's going to be great, blah, blah. And before I was even off the plane, now, no intention of ever moving back here.
Right.
I was like, man, I'm moving back here. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I started spending more time in New York, going back and forth between Miami and New York. And at this time, I was running women's circles in Miami. I was doing healing work. I was doing intuitive guidance work and just going back and forth, building clientele. But I was stuck once again. And I was like, where is this going? I don't want to work for myself anymore. It'd been 10 years. I'm like, I do want to work for somebody. And like, I missed collaboration and being around people. And I was yearning for community. Mm-hmm. And so I'm randomly sitting at a coffee shop in New York, like, what's next? And I randomly applied for a job at NYU. They had a mindfulness program administrator position. And I was like, I probably should be applying for a higher level job at this point, but I went for it.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything for 45 days. So I was like, okay, I'm supposed to stay on this path. Mm-hmm. Finally got a call 2 weeks before the end of the year, 4 years ago. I got the job. And that was almost 4 years ago. So I went from being a program administrator to now I run the unit.
That's amazing.
But why I say that long story, everyone, is that each aspect of my career journey and spiritual path has assisted me in understanding who I was, understanding the people around me and the world, given me the tools to be able to, in a business, corporate, institutional setting, offer the spiritual and religious guidance and space that I do in the way that I do without losing either one. Like, I understand business, and I also understand that a spiritual path has nothing to do with business.
Right.
Right. And so to be able to have that gift of being able to merge the two has been such a blessing. And I think it was like my education to be able to do the job that I do today. And so if you are in a career that you're like, why am I doing this? I can't switch over. Get to know your skill set, get to know your values, get to know who you are. You can apply it anywhere. You really can.
And listen, listen to that inner, because
and listen to that inner voice.
I mean, just your story is so compelling.
Yeah, that was long. Sorry about that.
No, this is the magical moment. This is why we're here, yeah. You know, and it's, yeah. And I think stories like this really inspire other people who yeah. may be on the same journey or yeah. may not in this lifetime, but maybe next lifetime. You right. know, it's like there's so many ways to navigate life. And yeah. sometimes people need to listen to magical moments and get a little shaken up.
Right.
And understand that they can take a chance and yes. do something different.
Yes. If you really listen deeply to the story, you see that I was just getting to know myself mm-hmm. the whole time. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to get to the most authentic place within that felt like I can live here. I can yeah. live in this space. For most of my life, I grew up in a very toxic, abusive home. And that's a whole other story, but I didn't for a very long time in those formative years in growing up in childhood, I wasn't told I had a right to exist.
Right.
And so I had to unlearn that deficit, that I was not a deficit in this world as a Black woman, as a Black child, as who I am today, even when I was obese and when I'm not, you know, just all the things that was told was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And to build a life not from deficit is the greatest gift you can give yourself, because you are not a deficit. No matter what a social construct says, no matter what someone in your life has told you, no matter what, you know, a day might feel like,
right.
you are not. No. And it took me almost till my 30s to learn that. Mm. But once I learned that, I was like, oh, now it's my responsibility to get the most out of this life.
Yes.
Because people are watching me build.
Yes.
As we know, there's a little baby boy in my belly.
Yes.
I want him to know he came from so much love.
Hey, skin, you're the bomb.
Your summer skin has never felt more hydrated and smooth. The Jill Lindsay Body Balm is a therapeutic, soothing, all-natural moisturizer made to balance your skin. It works miracles on scars and sunburns, too. The Jill Lindsay Body Balm comes in two scents: abundance and expansion. Each made with a custom essential oil blend to calm and relax. Treat your skin to some extra love with the Jill Lindsay Body Balms today. Available in 4-ounce and 2-ounce travel size, so you can take one anywhere.
We're going to segue right now. Okay. I don't want to stop this because we're going to talk about how special Melissa and this baby are.
Yes.
Because there is a story that happened at the Jill Lindsay store.
Yes.
And it really has been, at least in my lifetime, one of the most magical things I have witnessed in reality, you know?
Yeah, we were all listening that day.
Yes. So I met Melissa through my good friend, Natalie.
Yes.
We're all hanging out at the cafe. I'm talking about how we were hosting a 3-year-old's birthday party and they wanted an exotic animal farm in the garden. And Melissa immediately says, do you think that they'll have a bunny there? And I mean, I'm going to shorten the story because we could really go on. But anyway, and I look at Melissa and I'm like getting to know her. And I was like, wow, she thinks a bunny is exotic. And I'm like, that's a normal animal. Anyway, so then we start shopping and we're just all having a great time in the space. And Melissa is trying on this ring and it's a chain ring.
Yes.
And so I said, you know, she was concerned it might be a little too big.
Yes.
And so I said, Melissa, shake your hand really hard and see if that ring comes off.
Right.
Because shake it hard, you know, yeah. just give it all you got. Well, she did. And that ring went flying across the store. And it, all I saw mm-hmm. on the table where it went in the direction of was water rippling in this vase. We had yes. a glass vase in the middle of the table. And on the table were ceramics, pillows, notebooks, all merchandised, da da da. And for at least 30 to 40 minutes, we were all looking for the ring. Five people.
Crawling under tables.
Yes.
Flashlights out. Like, it was wild.
And then all of a sudden, Melissa picks up a plate that was flat on the table.
Yep.
And on that plate was a rainbow with mm-hmm. a little bunny etched into it.
Yeah.
And she picks up the plate and the ring is under the plate.
Yeah.
And then we all fell on the floor.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't actually believe
people
it.
Like,
we couldn't believe
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It was a special moment because I think it was a moment in my journey where I had just made some really major decisions about how I was going to pivot in my fertility journey. And I think at that point I had 6 failed IVF rounds and I was just kind of starting to lose hope. But there was again that little voice. I actually think there was a tug on my heart from the soul
yes.
of the baby and a voice. I mean, it's like, you got to keep going. You got to figure this out. You got to stay. It's as devastating as it was because you're filled with hormones. Mm-hmm. I mean, your whole life is uprooted when you're going through IVF. And I'm a single parent by choice. I'm doing this on my own. Even though I have a roaring community
Amazing.
Behind me that's like ready for this baby to be here.
We can't wait.
This was the second loneliest period of my life. Even though I was so loved through it and so supported, you are in a deeper relationship with your body than you have ever been. You're being like dragged through the mud. Your psyche is being affected because of the hormones. And I just had some major decisions to make. And I'm so glad that that moment happened because like the bunny and the child story and then the rainbow, I've lost a child in the past. And I mean, it was just, this divine moment
yes.
of like, you got to keep going. This is going to happen. You ended up gifting me the ring I have right here.
Yes. And then Sarah read the spiritual meaning of
yes.
what a baby or what a bunny is. And
yes.
it's literally fertility.
Yes. Yes.
So it yeah. all was, I mean, this is why I say we're on the floor crying,
yes.
freaking out, doing all the things because the message was so strong.
So strong. And like rainbow, it's possible.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's going to be different. It's going to be special. It's going to be out of the blue and it's going to take your breath away. And it did. And it did.
And now we get to welcome.
Yeah, I'm almost 5 months. I feel so honored that this little soul chose me. And he's already making me a better person.
Mm.
Yeah, really. He really is. I've never felt love like this. I really wanted to do this because, one, I wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to pour into a Black child. Like, I fought for him to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, I fought. I was not going to give up. And I want him to know that how badly he was wanted and how very much loved he is. I mean, I 7 years ago, I left an entire life that I had built because I knew I was never going to be a mother if I stayed. And I was never going to be the partner to someone or the mother I want to be if I stayed. So he's blessed me and I can't wait to bless him for the rest of his life and just find out who he is and help him find the tools to be empowered to live his light and in the way that he needs to for this world. And I'm already proud of him. You know,
yes.
he fought to be here as much as I fought to have him here.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I want to talk a little bit more about the motherhood aspect
yeah.
of it, because I think this is something that, you know, there's a lot of opinions on this.
Yes.
Everyone's got a voice.
Yeah.
We personally have a lot of women who are choosing to be a mom on their own.
Yes.
How to address that? What can we share with the listeners on educating,
yeah.
supporting
yeah.
women who are making this incredible decision?
Yeah.
Because it is a strong one.
It is. Just how powerful you are, right? Like, I think our society will convince you, like, oh, you didn't find the relationship, so you have to do it. You are not a deficit. This decision was not made out of a deficit. My son is not coming out of a deficit. He is coming out of pure love and like, okay, now's the time. You know, we're ready. He's ready. I'm ready. And so I just want to tell anyone out there that's making this call, like, if you're called to be a parent, and this is not just moms, like if you're called to be a parent, you will be a parent. That's some of the best advice I got from a colleague when I was on the journey. Yeah. And if you want to be a parent, you'll be a parent. And it's out of love. It's not out because you failed at something. And so I really want that to be clear. And I also want to say that like everyone does have an opinion, and we need to, in this parenting world, have a lot more grace for one another, because there's many ways to do this. You're going to figure out your parenting style. But people, we need more creation and love in this world, and mm-hmm. you can do it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say is just, I feel very powerful. I feel yes. like a goddess. I feel like, you know, I'm creating life.
Yes.
And you can create life in many ways. It doesn't have to just be through your body. If you adopt, if you do surrogacy, if you, however you're creating a family, you're creating something out of love, and keep that at the forefront. Don't care what anyone else has to say.
Yes.
It's about you and your choices. And, you know, I don't remember who, I think my friend Lena always used to say, I never did mind the little things. Anything outside of that choice is a little thing.
Yes.
Anything outside of love, is a little thing. Don't mind it. You just stay the course, stay the path, listen to yourself and your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yes. It's the mission of love, yes. which is exactly what this planet needs right now yes. on every capacity.
Yes.
And the more loving beings we bring in,
yes.
the more we can help.
Exactly. I mean, I feel an obligation mm-hmm. to do this. And, you know, when I found out I was having a boy, at first I was like, oh my goodness, I'm bringing a black boy into this world. And I was really scared, right? Because we know how this world treats black men.
Yep.
And I was like, what a gift I have to raise a man to not subscribe to the way our society has treated, characterized, and victimized, or villainized, I should say, black men.
Yes.
And my son gets to be a part of that.
Yes.
And I'm going to do everything in my power to protect him from all of that, to empower him, to encourage him. And so I feel an obligation as someone who, to live a life as a politic of love, like I am a vessel of love, that it's my obligation to keep creating more love in the world. And love isn't like rainbows and unicorns all the time. Love isn't
no.
kumbaya. Love is yes. like, you know, we're going to get to the root of things, pick those roots out that hate has taken a hold of, and plant new seeds mm-hmm. and build a new world.
Yes.
And he's a part of that new world.
Most of the women that we're friends with or that each of us know who yes. are having children are having boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said to one of my friends who, you know, she really wanted a girl. She's so beyond excited to be a mom.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, the one thing that will help elevate humanity here is more men who are birthed into love.
Mm-hmm.
And the more compassion there is and yeah. the more love that they can share. And yeah. then we all rise together.
We all rise together.
We all heal together.
Yeah.
Let's talk about magical moments to come. What are okay. some of the most magical things you're looking forward to besides oh. all of those amazing things you just listed? But like.
Yeah. About being a mom?
Yes.
Honestly, I can't wait for my family to meet him and to see the relationships he grows with them. All his firsts. Just figuring out who he is and honoring that the first time he comes and gives me a random hug.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't wait to meet him.
I know.
You know, I feel like I've known him forever. I feel like we've traveled many lives together. So I can't wait to love him on earth. You know,
yes.
like I can't wait to love him. And that's all that I can really think about because he's so special.
It's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like and then we're all going to love all
yes.
of you. I mean, the love
yes.
fest is
real.
Just going to expand,
yeah.
expand.
Yeah. And just, you know, he's going to make me laugh. I'm going to make him laugh. What's our inside jokes? I hope we have
mm-hmm.
a secret handshake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You will. You'll have so many little
yeah.
like mom, baby yeah. connection point.
I welcome the moments of hardship and challenge mm-hmm. that we'll go through together and who we will come out as on the other side. You know,
absolutely.
The iterations of who we are on the other side of that.
Yes.
And watching him grow and develop and make his impact on the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I love you, baby boy.
Love you, baby boy. You have so many gifts. And Melissa has introduced me to a lot of healers and spiritual people. And in the time we have left,
yes,
I would love to talk about how you've cultivated your gift, what that means to you, what you would like to share from that.
Sure.
There's a lot of people out there who haven't reached that point yet,
right,
or don't understand it. And so I love every show. I'm like, let's talk a little bit about magic.
Yes.
And what that means to each of us.
Well, I believe that magic is everything, right? Like, life is a gift, all is a teacher. I think it's magic just to be here, right? To exist, to breathe the next breath. And I was always a very sensitive little kid, just knew things that I shouldn't know, saw things I shouldn't see, you know, like things I couldn't explain, I didn't have a language for. My sister and I always joke, she's like, we have all these pictures of us when we were a kid, not that many, but when we were kids, and I'm always looking somewhere else.
Oh, wow.
I'm never looking at the camera. And she's like, my sister was talking to ghosts, you know, like I was a strange little child, but I had a lot of trauma growing up. I lost both my parents at a very young age. I had a very abusive mother due to some racial dynamics and just her past and who she was, and didn't have that opportunity to heal before she had me. So I suppressed it for a really long time. And then I remember once I started my meditation, holistic living and clean living, and just really listening to that little voice and getting more and more and more authentic. And you'll see now why my hunger was so strong to keep learning who I was. I started noticing some of that stuff coming back up, and noticing that, like, I would ask clients questions and they'd be like, I never told you that. How do you know that? Or, you know, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Or feeling really connected to, I have deep respect for spirit and spirit life and those who have passed and our ancestors, and really feeling connected to that world, and being able to feel that energy and use it to help guide me. And finally, it was like, I can't not live this way.
Right.
I can't not live this way. And the more and more I was trying to not live that way, the more and more unhappy I was. And once I started allowing myself to just be me, who is this like spiritually eclectic, I look at consciousness like it's like just this like tapestry. We're all interconnected in that tapestry. And I feel that in my body. I feel that in my heart. I see that in my eyes. And what a blessing, right? Like, I feel like I get to like suck the nectar out of life and be connected to all.
Yes.
And that's in all of us. I'm not special. I'm not ancient healer or whatever. But inside each of us is like a unique gift and talent. And it's up to us to find it. And I believe in that. You'll find your own gift, whatever that gift may be. And it may have nothing to do with spirituality.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But each of us has like a unique imprint to make on this world and to make unconsciousness to raise it. And I am thankful I found mine because it saved my life. And I don't take that for granted.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Can people just come and see you at NYU? Can people? Well, we're going to put Melissa's info, you know, and if you're open to people reaching out.
Yes,
with,
please do. Please do. I love hearing from people on my Instagram. Ignite with Melissa. Mm-hmm. You can catch me through there. I do talking events. I do consultation. I really love coming to talk with groups and corporate companies about how to build mindfulness practices, restorative practices, contemplative practices to build a more human first dynamic.
Yes. I'm like, Melissa is building a better world.
I'm trying.
She is.
I'm doing it with you though, girl. Doing it with you.
It's such an amazing thing to witness.
Thank you so much.
Yes. So we'll add all of your information at the in the notes of the podcast.
Okay.
But okay, we have baby coming up.
Yes.
We've got an amazing role.
Yes.
What else is there to manifest in your amazing world?
More love. I mean, romantic love. I'd love to manifest my partner. I know he's out there. Love in community, deep love in my friendships, like abundant, stable, grounded love. And that's what I want surrounded by me and my baby and what I want to offer as well.
You are love. That's it.
Thank you.
Are love. Everything you're doing is love. It's exactly what we all need. It's like, that's a magical moment in itself because you're the magical moment.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
And with that, I would love for you to pull
the last card.
Okay. Closing energy of the show.
Okay, great.
Let's see what it is.
Let's see what it is. The Empress.
Oh, jeez. I mean, do we even need to talk about it? Melissa is the Empress. Obviously, friends, the card is of an Empress surrounded by the moon in all forms, light, nature, space, goddess energy, because you are a goddess. And it really showcases, you know, the first card where we're establishing everything in this journey that we've all witnessed you talk about today.
Yeah.
How beautiful everybody's journey is.
Yeah.
And how different it is.
Yep.
And so all of those, all of the things that have brought you to the place where you are now, this goddess, I'm going to read a little bit about what it means.
Okay.
But I mean, if once you all can meet Melissa, you will just understand. And if you haven't already. But the goddess represents the power of divine feminine magic, transmutation, and self-expression. This card suggests that you may be experiencing feelings of inner growth, new development of ideas, or a renewed sense of sensuality. These changes and shifts may manifest in various ways through prosperity, abundance, a birth, that literally is in the book, productivity, success, healing, or loving relationships with others. Take this time to nurture your body and explore new adventures and activities outside. Be free in celebrating the senses of your being, body, mind, and spirit. And honor your creativity when you connect with the blueprint of your inner truth and higher self.
Mm.
This is an extremely charged period and full of abundance.
Amen.
I mean, well, we just closed the show.
And I look, I know that you're celebrating me, but I just want to celebrate you right back. You are such a gift to your community, to my life, to anyone who gets to meet you. I mean, literally your smile is what like brought me into you when we met on the yoga mat. And I'm really looking forward to what we create together and just getting to know you more. And just thank you for having me. I mean, you really are a gift, and you're a gift to so many. And I hope that you're poured into as much as we all know that you pour into us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't handle it. I love you so much.
I love you too.
I love you so much. It has been an honor. I love you. I can't wait to hear about all your goddess stories that will happen for the rest of the month.
Yes.
And until baby is here.
Yes.
And we can
play with him.
Play with him. And until next time, friends, you can follow Melissa at Ignite with Melissa. Her Instagram is great. There's super amazing quotes there. You can listen to all of our episodes on all the places. And thank you, Joe, from Rockefeller Center.
Thank you, Joe.
So next time, with many more magical moments and so much love.
Blessings, everyone.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to follow us on our social media at Jill Lindsay Store, #magicalmoments.